And that is, for instance, that everything that happens to a person is from Hashem. Now, when I say everything that happens to a person is from Hashem, I'm not going to be foolish about it. If a person puts his head into the fire, that's not from Hashem. So there are things where, and if a person opens up a drawer from a top or a door and bangs his head or her head in the kitchen, that hasn't got to be from Hashem. Not everything that, every foolish thing that a person does is from Hashem. And one has to be understandable and reasonable about it. But what happens to a human being is from Hashem, and Hashem cares about every human being. Now, another principle that you've got to know and will become clear now is that whatever happens to a human being is for the good of that human being. Call the Ovidrachon and the Tav Ovid. Of course, it cannot be understood without an appreciation of Olam Habo, that this world is only the beginning, it's a very short span of a person's life, and there is all eternity, and this has got to be understood in terms of eternity too. And now what he does in paragraph 11, he explains how we ought to understand some of the things that happen to the individual. And he starts off by saying, Nuso lepi zeh, work, Nuso lepi chol ma'ashe be'arvu. And so the conclusion of everything that we have explained amounts to this. Kibosho nosu mishalpes lemikre b'nei ho'odom ba'elam azeim letel b'im lebuto. That there are all kinds of reasons, there are all kinds of causes for anything that happens to a human being in this world. What he is saying is, what he is eliminating, that we shouldn't fall into the trap and say, because this person has done that, this is why this happens to him. Because this person is like what he is, therefore this is what is happening to him. Because there can be all kinds of reasons, and we've got to endeavor to understand what are the different kinds of reasons that can cause different things to different human beings. I just want to give you an example. We say that if a man has got wealth, there is a reason why he's got wealth. The same man lived in Poland and was as poor as a doormouse. He comes to America and he's as rich as Korach. Now, what has happened here? He's the same man. He's just as good as, and or as bad in America as he was in Poland. What is the reason? It seems that the climate has got something to do with it. Not exactly the climate, but it is the place. And that is also a shvurcho. And all this you've got to understand, and I will try and explain it to you as we go through this chapter. Now, I know that you find the ideas expressed here difficult, and what I'm trying to do is to avoid the losing the sense and the continuity when I read the Hebrew. So I will read the Hebrew rather quickly and quite a lot of at a time, and then spend time explaining it. The Omnom, however, Eilu Inyan Shekol Mikre Shehikri Yemoshach Mikolai Sibu Shehele, you cannot say that everything that happens is the result of these causes. Abolo Inyan Shemikol Eilia Sibu Shemoshu Mikim Yidei Odeh Ba'eva. But all you can say is, and now you've got to be very careful of the word, from all these causes, and we're going to enumerate some of them, from all these causes, the result, these matters to the human being in his relationship to the world. So it's not only what happens to him, as he relates to others, of course he's got to be taken into consideration. And what he's really speaking about is this book that is written, why good things happen to bad people, why bad things happen to, why bad things happen to good people. It is just nonsense. You can't work this out. How can you work this out? to taking everything into consideration. That is what he's speaking about. And so he says, that you've got to know, you can find that in a man's life, this A situation develops from something, and B situation is because of something else, and C situation is because of something else. All different things happen to him because of different causes. It will become clearer very soon. The Omnam. Hashem takes into consideration everything that is good and is the ultimate good for the whole of creation. Person who is selfish can never understand. It's not he himself that he says it. But he himself is there first of all with regard to himself and who he is himself, but also with regard to his place in the universe and how what happens to him affects others. All that is to be taken into consideration. These
causes cannot produce one result, because you will find causes that conflict with one another. For example, a man has got a very rich father, and his father dies and leaves him a fortune. That has to be so. He inherits the fortune. That has to be so. He might have done something, and he deserves to be poor. So, on the one hand, there is something that he deserves to be wealthy. He's got proof of it. His father left it to him, and he deserves to be wealthy. On the other hand, there is a deed that he's done, and he deserves to be poor. So these things conflict. So it can be Derech Moshe, Eches Refi Chutu Ovet Yadir Le'odet Echot Osher Refi Ma'asov Eini. From Chut Ovet he's got to be wealthy. From the point of view of his own deeds, he's got to be poor. Refi Achilu Kakloli Osher Eini. And then, that there is another consideration. There is consideration how it affects the whole world. It's possible that from the point of view of the rest of the world, it is necessary for this man to be wealthy in spite of his evil deeds. Comes into consideration. Perhaps it is necessary for the rest of the world that he shouldn't be wealthy, in spite of his having inherited from his father. Hashem will see that he loses it. So there are conflicting causes. And what he is saying is that it is impossible for the human being to work out exactly why this man is wealthy and why this man is poor, because there are so many reasons and there are so many causes for it. So many different things can happen. And even if we take only the man's deeds into consideration, a man does many things in his life. He can do something of which he is deserving of a certain benefit. But he can do something in which he is not deserving of that benefit. In fact, that he is deserving that he should lose that benefit. The man sees only the good that he has done, so he should be receiving that benefit. He doesn't think of something wrong that he has done, and that is lasting that benefit. How can one possibly know all this? The Ulam Achok Mohar Yonash Akilisim Achroas Ishakay Alat Tabay Jesekay. It is only the divine wisdom, which is the highest wisdom, which is incomparable wisdom, that decides exactly what is to be. And what Hashem decides is something that fits into everything. Then it all works out all right.
In
that whatever happens, there is nothing that happens to man, that is because of some cause. Whatever happens to him is because of a cause. But probably if the Lord of the Shadi Kulam of Kubodja Dana about the Sudan Solar again in the name of Kubodja Dana. You see, but it's impossible for the human being to work out exactly why this is happening to a particular person, or why this is not happening to a particular person. To work it out completely is impossible because there are so many factors. And now we'll just spend a little while in trying to understand this better. We've given one example. The man has got a wealthy person. His parents die, absolutely natural, he inherits it. That is one of the divine laws. The truth of it, a child inherits from his father. And not only his fortune, he inherits his looks, he inherits some of his temperaments, lots of things that a child is. Five things are mentioned in the Mishnah that a child inherits from his father. Length of days, inherits from his father. That family has got length of days, lived life. He might do something not to deserve that. He needs it. He needs that privilege. But it's all with a reason. Now, let us take a certain sense. What are the various things that could happen to a person? Let us say we are dealing with a good person. Even a good person does something wrong. From the good that he has done, he deserves something. The wrong that he has done, he deserves not to have it. Let us say that he deserves something good, but the good that he will have isn't a good that will be good for everybody else also. Then he won't have it. Or something bad must happen to him, but it will affect adversely someone or people who shouldn't be affected adversely by it. Then it's got to be dealt with differently. It might be a case of guilt and assurance. A person that has been born again, I ever seldom that happens. It might be a case like that. It might be a case of the tragedy that is suffering for others, which we've all dealt with. And now finally, we spend some time in discussing the question of the spouse. After the Tower of Babel, when Hashem created the nation, and that we'll have more of in the next chapter, when Hashem created the nation, he appointed a star over every nation. It's impossible for us to understand exactly what the star is, but we can have some idea. It is a power, and there is a spiritual power over a nation. For example, and then of course, there is over the stars, there is a malach. Now the star is for every particular nation. The malach is for a group of nations. Now I want to explain something to you that for Americans is very difficult to understand. But we've already had some training and we've already had some preparation in this. We are living in a society where they like saying that every man is the same. And every woman is like every man, and every man is like every woman, and there's no difference in everything. Everything, everybody is exactly the same. The reality of it is quite different. Not only isn't everybody the same, but even everybody isn't even born the same. However much I tried, I could never become an artist. Absolutely impossible. I wasn't born that way. However much Einstein tried, I don't believe he could ever become a Prime Minister or a Prophet Christ. Could have become very near to it, but could never have reached his heart. Nobody is born the same. Nobody looks the same. Nobody thinks alike. No two people think alike. No two people speak alike. course there are all these differences. In America, they like to think that everybody is the same, and so it makes no difference who a person is. He must be given all his rights. But he goes far beyond that. He's given all kinds of privileges, and the people who deserve rights suffer because the person who has harmed them not only has rights, but he has privileges also. So the victim suffers immeasurably. It's a strange kind of society that will one day get right. But for the time being, we must know where we stand. It's not a Torah society. This is not the way the Torah thinks. Now, I know it's a great game in America for rabbis to get up and say how America stands for everything that the Torah says and the Torah does. It's nonsense. It doesn't. Torah doesn't believe in these things. One of the things is that the Goy hates the Jew. In America, they don't like to hear that. In America, if they hear me saying Goy, they will expatriate me. Can't say a thing like that. If you speak about Gentiles in America, they excommunicate you. Non-Jews, not Gentiles. I make a special point. There is a difference between a Jew and a Goy. And the Zerach Hashem speaks about it in the next chapter. But that is not what concerns me at the moment. What concerns me at the moment is that Edom hates Israel. And it's no good saying it will never happen again. We are not going to be asked if it's going to happen again or it's not going to happen again. I just want you to know that of all the nations in the world, before the First World War and after the First World War, the Germans were considered to be the most patriotic. They were considered to be the most polite, the most courteous. When you speak about what is known as Christmas, right, that was an absolute essential in German life. That is courteous. Their courtesy. They were well educated, music. There wasn't a person in that appreciation of music. The arts, all that in Germany. The greatest hatred of the Jew was expressed there. Now, the first Masaryk, who was the founder of the Czechoslovak Republic, and he was also one of the signatories to the Balfour Declaration. We are not talking about the situation again. They've heard about it, yeah. All right. Now, he was one of the signatories, the Sat Masaryk was one of the signatories of the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration said that His Majesty's government used to favor the establishment of a Jewish national home in Palestine. It was worded only as the mature English diplomat can word. It was worded in such a way that when it was challenged, it didn't mean anything. Because it was written, His Majesty's government used with favor the establishment in Palestine of a Jewish national home. Not the establishment of Palestine as a Jewish national home, but the establishment in Palestine of a Jewish national home. And when this was challenged in 1929, the British government said, yes, we are going to remain true to that promise. We are going to take a bit of Palestine and give it to the Jews. How big is that piece going to be? And they said, what a vow big it is going to be. And Weizmann made the same statement in South Africa, the peace that is given to the animals in the Kruger National Park is far larger than what you're prepared to give to the Jews of the world. Also, but that's what the Balfour Declaration means. Now, Smuts and Masaryk said that that's not what it means. That there is a law, and it's a law in the Torah, that a document must speak for itself. Can't interpret it. It must speak for itself. What does the document say? What does the document say? The document says a Jewish national oath in Palestine. That's all it says. There will be a Jewish national oath in Palestine. But we don't give Palestine to the Jews and such an obligation to the others. But they foresaw that, and that is the way they were. That is, by the way, I'm just bringing you back to your general education. And now, Masaryk, a friend of the Jews, a lover of the Jews, he wrote two books. The one book he wrote on suicide, which was his doctoral thesis, and the other book he wrote was his autobiography. They are both very fine pieces of work. The passage that I'm quoting to you comes in one of those two works. I think it is in his autobiography. It seems to belong to his autobiography. But I read both works at the same time, and this was very many years ago. I don't remember what work it was. And there he writes, as he says, when he sees a Jew, his first reaction is one of hatred, one of dislike, and then he begins to reason with himself. And then he reasons with himself. He reasons with himself to the extent that he gets himself to love a Jew. This is Masaryk, who is known to be a great Eretz Yisrael, a great lover of Israel. This is what he writes about himself. And he was one who loved Israel, but he had to struggle with himself before. There were various reasons why. When Hitler came to power, there were various reasons that put forward why. One reason that was put forward by a school of psychology is a reason that the Torah itself is in the Midrash. And one reason was that the Jews stand for morality. That is something that the Gentile doesn't. May there be morality in all, but that you have to have a nation that stands for it, that means doesn't work. And I have more about to say about that a little bit later to give you an illustration. So the Gentile seeks to destroy the Jew, and the current document speaks about the various ways. One way was the way of promise. And that is just kill them all out and you will have no more Jews. Another way was the way of the Inquisition. Get them all to become Christians. Won't have any more Jews. There is a third way. Assimilate them. Make them all into Gentiles and then you won't have any problem anymore. You don't have to worry about religion. These are the three ways that were adopted. In the early days, it was annihilation. Then it was conversion. And the third place was assimilation. German, assimilation. American, assimilation. Very easy to assimilate in America. Very easy to teach to become a Jew. There are Jews that go and live in a place called New Mexico. And they say, if you come and ask them, for the nation, for the federation, for Israel, for whatever it is, that they became there to be clear for that. Don't want your ability to do it. Unfortunately, I know a family that has opted out of Judaism. Their grandparents staunch Jews. Their parents staunch Jews. But they themselves were living in New Mexico. The children of all seemed to marry. Didn't want to marry a living Jew. All the children of all seemed to marry. They don't declare themselves as Jews. I'm sure nobody where they live know that they are Jews at all. We know that they are Jews. The funny thing is, the wife comes to say, she doesn't say before Rosh Hashanah, completely assimilated. And he said to him, in the very case, he said, you can't do that quite as easily. You can't do it quite as easily. The Englishman isn't so prepared to accept it. But yeah, it doesn't happen. The Italians, the Jews, the blacks, the reds, the yellows, the reds, it's a promoting part, you see. So it's much easier to understand. The Rehonen, Wasserman, made the point that now in the Ikhbet of the Meshucha, according to what the Torah calls, the Tanakh calls, the end of days, Akharisa Yomi, the days before the Shia, now all three come together. So you find there's the destruction of the Jewish people, there's the assimilation of the Jewish people, there's the conversion of the Jewish people, all three have come together in the same time. That is easy to destroy the Jews. That is heaven. Now the whole idea of the struggle that is described in the Torah between Yaakov and the stranger that meets him when he is alone. The stranger that meets him is the son of heaven. He is heaven. And what is his struggle with him? He wants to destroy Yaakov. In the end, when he can't destroy him, he touches him in the hollow of the thigh. And the idea is that his weakness should be in his children. That he should have a struggle of bringing up his children as Jews. That is what he succeeded to do. That is the son of heaven. Now each nation has got its son. And therefore each nation has got its specificity. The only nation that hasn't got a son is the Amishwar. That is directly under the Amishwar. But every nation has got a son, and the son, so to say, made the nation accordingly. Now you must not think about the son as a person or as anything like that. The son is a power. You know, when you pick up something and you let it fall down, it doesn't fly up. So there's a power that attracts it to the earth. Can't see it. It's a power, it's a force. And so every nation has got a force that attracts it, and this nation submits to this force. Now, you've heard me speak already on the subject of whether there is such a thing as a genuine Jew. And when you look around at the Jews, it's very difficult to say that there is a genuine Jew that is even Jewish. Just to give you an example. You find a Jew that is warm, and he dances and he sings. And then you find a Jew that is cold. He doesn't dance and he doesn't sing. And he doesn't fall over people. And he doesn't call people, P-A-W. He doesn't call people. He's looked upon as being cold and detached. Have you ever met a Jew like that? Seen a Jew like that. And when you get the warm Jew, he can dance and he can sing and everybody is so warm to everybody. Now, so which is the correct Jew? The funny thing is that the Jew that comes from Russia is very warm. He's a warm Jew. The Jew that comes from Lithuania is a cold Jew. No question about it. You get other differences. You get an Hungarian Jew. There's an elegance about an Hungarian Jew. That is about his dress. is that what is about Herzl? That is very particular about the Herzlitz. That is about an Hungarian too. You come across a German view, punctuality. It is meticulous. Everything has got to be just in one place. The Russian Jews are like that, the Polish Jews are like that, the Italian Jews are like that. Which is the best Jew? You come to England, the Jew is so courteous there. Very courteous. Take the Jew in Gaza 3 and ask him where to go. He'll tell you exactly. And you say to him, but aren't you in a hurry? He says, let me help you first. If you say, I'm sorry, I've got no time, he doesn't come from there. He's a soldier. Otherwise, he takes all the trouble to tell you where to go. You come to America, you stop a person on Park Avenue and say, where do I touch the underground? I don't know what you're speaking about, and he's got. He's there. Oh, stop another person, he's learned that. Where is there the nearest subway? And near supper, and he's walking, and he's talking, and he's walking, and he's running off there. He won't stop and serve you. Altogether different. And but they're Jews, yeah, you're dealing with Jews. So, is there such a thing as a genuine Jew? Is there such a thing as a genuine Jew? How is it? So, find a Jew, yeah? How are we going to work out all this? Now, the truth is, if you ask people, why is a German Jew so punctual, so meticulous? What is his answer? That's how the German does. He's so well organized. A German Jew is so well organized. When it comes to improvisation, it's not so good. The English Jew is not organized. He's never organized. The English Jew. He muddles through everything, but he gets done, and he gets done well, but he muddles through. But put him with his back against the wall where he can't move, there he's at his best. He can improvise. The American Jew's got both properties. He can organize and he can improvise. He's a good fellow. Where do they get all these characters? So that the English Jew get it from the Englishman. Does the Russian Jew get it from the Russian? Does the German Jew get it from the German? Not at all. The German Jew gets it from where the German gets his punctuality and his meticulous. That's from where he gets it. From where does the German get it? He gets it from his son. That is the power that is over that nation, to which he's attached and to which he submits. And every nation has got it. And he submits to that. The Jew has got the ability not to submit to the attack. Got the ability. Now, it all falls into place. You find people in Poland are poor. So if a Jew lives in Poland, he suffers poverty. That same Jew can come to America and he can enjoy wealth. I say, work is so, because that is exactly how it is. The South in Poland causes poverty, the South in America causes affluence. So he's affluent in America, and let us say, his twin brother is in Poland, who is exactly as he is, they are identical, not only physically, but also psychologically, spiritually, everything, they are exactly the same. The one in America is affluent and the one in Poland is poor. That is how it is, that is the country. It is possible that the one in Poland is rich. The reason for it. He's done certain things, life is such wonderful. It is possible that the one that is in America is poor. There are poor people in America, I believe. It's difficult to find them, but they are there. He's poor. He's an affluent American. the reasons for it. But the reason to discover the reasons for the human beings is impossible. Nevertheless, despite of that, we are under an obligation, when anything happens to us, we are under an obligation to try and understand why it's happened to us. And we can usually work it out. It's only that there are complicated situations. But very often, more often than not, most often, we are able to work it out. Why something is happening to us or has happened to us. Can work it out. Just on a lighter note, some years ago, we had the Chief of Celeste coming and spending a few days ago. Anyway, in those days we couldn't have a minion yet in the morning. And I got up in the morning to daven, I told him that to daven, and he had already, he was a contender in darkness. So he said to me, he said, where is Nisra? So I said, Nisra is there. He said, no, I couldn't get out where Nisra is, so I stood facing that one. Right, yeah. So he said, God be helpful. And so I stood there. So nobody here, so to say. Anyway, then we had to go to San Francisco, there, Port of Texas. Now, I don't know my way, but I know I've got to face the 101. So I go along, what was in those days, the 17, and I go along, and I miss the 101 because we were busy talking. My wife was with us, she wasn't the cause of it, but she was also taking part in the conversation. We missed the 101, so we remain on the 17. And we are going to the airport. It's quite all right, because we've got to, we've got somewhere, we find a place to cross. Anyway, I find that I've got the ocean in the middle of me. Can't cross it, we'll never cross it. And we've got to catch a place. Anyway, we wandered and we wandered and wandered. Eventually we found a bridge, I don't even remember. But that's right, yes. He found the bridge, he found the bridge, of course. Of course we missed the plane. Of course we missed the plane. Plane missed. And then he discussed, why should this have happened? He said, by the chip, that is easy, it doesn't matter. Didn't worry about it. Yeah. He's got it immediately. Mm-hmm. Very kindly punished. That is the cause and the effect. It doesn't mean anything, direction doesn't mean anything to you. What? So, now that only happens to great people, I've done that to small people. But that is the way he understood it, and that is the way he interpreted it. And he told it several times after he told you, he's got no idea how many times you have to tell that story. And he tells people that story, and you're not going to get little things. But what I'm showing you is, all this is there to, all things happen. We can, more often than not, most often, we can work out why something is happening to us. But the person that can only progress in that, things, bad things happen to him, why should this have happened to him? And then good things happen to him, he doesn't ask the question, that's no good. Person must ask when good things are happening to me, now why is this happening to me? Am I so good that I should be deserving of it all? There must be a reason for it. What is the reason for it? Find out, and I must respond to it. And then it does happen. Yes? Yes?
Because the converse of that is that the good is 500 times the bad. That is, it's true that a child suffers because of a wrong of a certain thing, just like this in a bad thing. And we see it every day. That the child suffers, it's not the child's fault. The child suffers because of the fault of the parent. But on the other hand,
if a child wants to lift himself out of it, the help that he gets, and the possibility that he gets, and what he's put into his way in order to lift, that is very nice. So it equals, it is a law of necessity. You got the idea? Or Linda?
Well, perhaps it's because of other people. Because yes. If something did happen to somebody, it could be that the good is happening to them because of benefits of others.
That's right.
So therefore, if you introspect, if you look inside, why is it, and you can't find a reason,
could
be in a certain reason
because it's possible. It's possible it is for other reasons. There's one family that either the luck is needed. And the first time I had to deal with this family was the month before the war broke out. That was the first time I came into contact with this family. And when we went to New York now, again, this man there, I think he's in his 90s. And just let me know who it is, please, sir. I'm taking a call from Chicago and from New Jersey, sir. Now, so this particular person we met him, and he's very old and weak, and when I made the arrangement that we were going to see him, his son said, "Now, I mustn't be disappointed." He said, "As far as his mind is concerned, it's perfect, but his hearing is bad, and his speaking is good. So I must be ready for it." Well, it was an absolute pleasure. His mind was perfect, but his speech was good and his hearing was good. He didn't miss a thing of what he said. I could speak to him, didn't miss a thing. Now, he is a person, when I first met him, he was a very wealthy person, but really tremendous type of good. I think I told you that once in New York I said to him, "Now you can tell me how many people you got out from Germany." And his wife said, "I can answer that question." Over a thousand people they got out of Germany. And this was that if you work according to the book, you can't do it. You couldn't get a sale out. And if you would have asked the authorities who were dealing with it, they said, "No, this is the law, you can't break the law." He broke the law 1,001 times to get 1,001 people out of Germany. And he broke the Swiss law. And he bribed, but he broke the law, but he got them out. And he saved 1,001 lives. And that was a whole barter full of work on that basis. Getting these people out. And this was a battle that was fought against the establishment. The establishment said, "No, you've got to go according to the law. This is the law. You mustn't break the law." And these people said, "No or no, though, we are going to save as many as we can save." And that is how people were saved. So this is a person that believes that his wealth is given to him for a reason. He's only a trustee over it. But if he's a trustee, he's fully responsible for it. And if it's given, it means that he's there. And he believes that that is the reason that he was there for it. That is the way he carried on. And he's got his son in his business, and I'm beginning to believe that his son carried on his business as well. Where does that carry on?
But if a good thing happens, there's a responsibility there. Is he living up to it or is he failing? That's quite a different thing. You see, I'm dealing with him in her marriage with being one of the principals of the Rosh. and there were two principles that came up that I guess is when a similar question arose. The one was when is something arrogant and when is it confident? So if a person, for example, if a surgeon has to perform a complicated piece of surgery, a complicated operation, if he hasn't got confidence, he's going to make a mess of it. If he's going to say, oh, who am I? What kind of a surgeon am I? I know nothing. What do I know about surgery? I'm such a modest person. I'm such a humble person. He's going to make a mess of his face. He's got to go with confidence. So, when is confidence and when is arrogance? Another thing is flattery is a terrible thing. But on the other hand, recognition is something that a person needs. Encouragement is something that a person needs. When is it flattery? When is it encouragement? Very simple. If I say something good to a person, but I say it for his sake, because I want him to realize that what he's done is noted, it is recognized, it's appreciated. I remember I was once at a funeral and I listened to the rabbi giving the oration, and this was the children, and the rabbi spoke and said, it's from this children like this that the Mashiach will be born. And I just cringe. And I thought, good heavens, how are these people going to react to a thing like this? If I'm cringing, how they must be cringing. After they said, did you hear what the rabbi said about our children? Children didn't see the thing. They were so pleased with it. If one says nice things to a person, because what one can get out of the person, that's flattery. If one says nice things to a person because of the person, that's not flattery. There's recognition, appreciation, instilling of confidence, those are the two things. So the thing is, the devil also wants to know that thing happens to me. It happens to me, then there's a reason for it. I've got a responsibility. I've got to live up to it. Yes. That is the power of evil. Hashem gave power to evil to such an extent that at one stage Eod said that if I observe the world, then there is Hashem has given mankind into the hands of evil, and evil can do what he likes to do. He sends arguing out of it. But that is, that's what it seems to me to be. To such an extent, he can't explain it all. Power, evil is very great. And the reason for it is that if we overcome the power of evil, that is what makes us. To overcome it, that makes us into something, somebody. Yes, Alan?
Nothing but something that I've been wondering about since last week.
Yes.
We were talking about the souls, and it seems that if you have something very evil happens to people, then often there's a reason or some of the reason behind it that we know and understand. But often that Hashem has a reason, the person's an instrument to bring about that evil, and Hitler or someone. So what about the soul that is born into someone that's using an instrument?
That's quite understandable.
Well, it doesn't seem...
Well, you see, Hashem won't use as an instrument for evil a good person. You follow? That he won't. And he won't use as an instrument for good a bad person. He will only use as an instrument for evil a person who's just waiting for an opportunity like that. And he will only use as an instrument for good a person who wants to do some good. That's the way it works.
But we work like this in everything. For example, if I want to knock a nail into a piece of wood, I'm not going to use a thermometer for it. But they are both instruments. I've used the right instrument for the right thing. I think use it for you. If it's something bad to happen, you use the right person for it. Give that person a chance, and the person falls for it. All right. Hey, just one minute, Kanabasa, didn't you want to ask something? What do you want to ask?
I think that this is one of the important events that our good information should be as strong as our youth are. But yet, so many times it feels like our youth are so much stronger. But it could be, or if the sympathy is regular with good and evil, then the youth are as strong as our good information are.
It's a very good question. That's a very good question. It doesn't work out quite like that. First of all, just let me give you a couple of examples. A person that is born in an evil society. Now, you can't say that it's equal good and evil is equal to him. You can't say that. Because his whole environment is one of evil, he's been born into it. So he hasn't got that opportunity, but it's taken into consideration. And every person is given a chance somewhere down the line. If he takes hold of that chance, then he can save himself. And Hashem gives him a tremendous amount of help in it. And so it can happen that a person is born in a particular good society. He's got a Yetzer Hara. Sometimes it can be a very, very strong Yetzer Hara. Just to equalize it. But the opportunity is given in the whole of life, every turn, a person is in a battle. And that is what Shlomo HaMelech says. He prays to Hashem, he says, you know, give me not undue riches, lest it caused me to deny Hashem, and give not me that poverty that will cause me to steal. So what everyone is, one is always in the battle. Yes.
So, I said that I'll talk about when we die, we just according to our environment.
Well, according to everything.
Yeah,
that's right. Everything is taken into consideration.
So
you've got a very good example to answer that. You take today what is happening in the world today. On the one hand, there is a terrible draw to wrong and to evil. On the other hand, just look what is happening. Look at the opportunities. If anybody wants to learn today, he can learn. It's all open. There are books. There are some terribly bad books that are being written in English. There are others that are mediocre, and it would be better had they not been written. But there are others that are excellent, absolutely top stuff, written in English. It's all available and so cheap. There's a novel that's just been published that was good heavens. If it came my way, I would take it up and page through it. I looked, $22.95. I'm not going to pay $22.95 for that. And it takes a safe, and how much does it cost? It's expensive, $11. Look how easy it is. Look at the opportunities that are here. So it's all given. I just want to end on two matters. The first one is when I spoke about the theory that was put forward. And this was put forward as a theory in psychology that Hitler and all that hatred to the Jew was because the Jew is the essence of morality. That there are Jews who are immoral, that's besides the point. That the essence of the Jew is morality. Now, just look, I wasn't aware of it. I'm just becoming more and more aware of it now. And it will come to me again on Sunday night. I was at a wedding on Sunday night. and there were some people sitting at my table, and they were making me aware of this, that I thought I really was aware of it. This game of that is in existence today, I had no idea how widespread it was, but no idea at all. And these people were sitting at my table and enlightening me, and I became enlightened to what extent it was and what power they had. Now, it was going to be published in 18,000 words essay on this, and it's been promised that it would be sent to me on this subject. And the person who was speaking to me said, "I am afraid of the author's life, because he speaks to what it really is all about. And I have this nonsense that you can't control it and all that, and this man speaks about it." And he said, "I'm afraid of this man's life." And I've been told how it goes on, how jobs are given. People, they are slaves, they do their job today. They've got a whole society built on an immorality, on an aberration, that in the Torah is punishable by death, not only for Jews but for Gentiles also. Goyim have got exactly the same law as Jesus. It comes under seven instances from Noah. And the Jews say that, can you imagine the hatred that they have got to the Jews for that? To such an extent that the Jew begins to say that it doesn't matter. Really told me that there was an article in yesterday's newspaper. And here it is. Oh, good, what does it say? Reformed Judaism, okay, homosexuals and rabbis, but this isn't so bad. I was afraid that he said that only homosexuals could be rabbis. Don't laugh. That's the next step. That's the next step. Now, Vicky, you've got this. And we say that this is punishable by death. Now, they can expatriate me, they can excommunicate me. But if they had really listened to what I've got to say about homosexuality, they will execute me. No question about it. So can you tell? That is why the Jew is so racist.
Well, the rabbi speaking about jobs, it's one thing that we have a problem with in our business is that there are a lot of homosexuals in the down field. And we've run across a few, and we've got a couple looking for us, and we didn't know about them at the time. Now we're starting to realize, who they are. It's very difficult to get rid of them.
Yes, they won't do to you what they would do to me, but they can do other things to you, yes. All right, now the last paragraph, I just want to tell you briefly what it is. What he says is, sometimes there are ends and sometimes there are means to an end. Sometimes Hashem causes something to happen to a person, and that is, Hashem wants that to happen to a person. Other times he will cause something to happen to a person, and that is not the intention. The intention might be a prevention. For example, a man runs to catch a plane, and on the way the car, tire burst, whatever it is, he misses the plane and the plane crashes. So that was not an end in itself, but that is a means in there. The Gemara gives an example. In those days it was an example where a man has got a cow and he's flying with a cow, and the cow breaks his leg, falls into it. Some ground caves in, clunk falls into it, thinks, what has God done to him? Takes the cow out and he finds the treasure there. And he's a made man. And he's a made man. So that is not an innocent reason easily. He just gives that as a finale amongst the things that can happen to a person that we just know. And now we are ready to begin the next chapter, next week, same time.
Thank you.
Oh, what is next week?
Fourth of July.
Oh, Fourth of July. We can't have a show. Oh, no. Thanks for telling me.
This is the rabbi of the rabbi.
Yes, you're quite right. I just want to say about this, you can see how far American Jews have gone from Judaism. There is such a thing as a genuine Jew. Of course there is. The Demir was so exact with everything, he had in Germany, that he's a Jew. Always courteous. Rebbechon and Wasserman, always courteous. Very particular about everything. The test is it because of Torah or is it because of the South? When you see a German Jew in particular about everything. Now, but when he comes into your house where they're not so particular about everything, he can't take it. He can't take it. If he sees anything that isn't exactly, he decides himself, he loses himself. That is from the German side. But if he is not so exactly, full time, he's not like that. Then it comes from terror. They use an expression in America, he gets mad. He doesn't get mad at that is from terror. But you find these people so careful, mysterious, elegant, careful about everything. Doesn't come from every side. They're not too warm, they're not too cold, they don't fall over people. In other words, they're not completely detached. That is Torah people. They are such people. And such people are not influenced at all by their environment. Right. So we've covered the end of the third chapter. We are ready to begin the fourth chapter. Thank you, ladies. He wants to be machmir on himself. And he says if an ordinary person can't do it, I won't do it. That's the difference.
Why did he ask
the first place? He thought perhaps it's permitted for an ordinary person also. Then he would have had no hesitation. But once he hears that this is to do something on the idea that you paid back afterwards, that is tainted in what he did. That's what he does. Hey, Gemma?
Why, if an ordinary person is associated with Russia, or that's just an example?
No, you've asked me a very difficult question. When Dorothy went to ask something, I saw it hanging very much. Wasn't sure, but wasn't sure. I'm coming back to you.
Well, I wanted to ask, you said that he has the right to be marking upon himself, but he was also being marking upon his soldiers. So he was making the way more difficult.
But he's the king. He's the king. He's got to make the decision.
Well, I always understood it.
If I make a decision, and it's something that affects my community. But if I make a decision, it affects my community. Good, but that's what I'm there for. So what he did was it affected me, but that's what he's there for. He's in a position of leadership.
Well, that is supposed to be, not just in the marketing of them, the ability to close the door. It's like the after shower of a ride.
Yes.
And they'll tell you something, and then you go home and you decide you want to be more marketing.
There are places where you can be more machmir if you want you can be more machmir. That's where the left is. You've got to be this good. The only thing is, Mary's question was quite right there. Then why do you ask? So in this particular case, he wanted to know if it's permitted for everybody. They said for everybody, not just for you, yes. But he doesn't want. But why they said it's permitted for everybody would have taken it. Mm-hmm.
Well, you said being machmir, you have to make a distinction between being machmir and somebody taking it through. Or I think it's included.
Of course.
Some people think they're being
machmir,
but they're actually not being...
They're being foolish.
Right.
Yeah, so that you've got to be careful about.
So that's what I'm saying.
The person that doesn't want to drink water because she looks into a microscope and sees a lot of little microbes in the water and shrugs him, how can you get there? And that's foolish. Not being machmir. That's being downright foolish. In that sense.
Sorry.
You
So you tell me you don't have to do that. So that. Now, Gemma asks a question which it is very difficult for me to answer. And the reason it is difficult to answer is because people today have got a distorted idea of reality and consequently a distorted idea of Torah, because Torah is reality. People today think that Judaism means you must be happy. What does it mean being happy? You must eat and you must drink and you must dance and you must sing, and then you are all right. That is happiness, isn't it? Now, it's lovely to hear that. He doesn't want that. Eat, drink and be merry, says Yeshayahu, for tomorrow we shall surely die. He doesn't want that. That's very, very natural. But it's not the reality. It's true, he says, Hashem but he says, the Gilu Birchodo, that in your rejoicing, tremble out of fear. And we have explained it, what it means. What Simcha of the Torah means. The Simcha is when you hit reality. That is it. The joy that you get out of that. That to eat and to drink and to sing and to dance, and now you are happy. And now this is Judaism. So, that people love the fact that you are the rabbi there from the future, and this was a very good, with a good rabbi, a good background. But he's been caught up in this, and he's got to lead a community, and it's a very difficult community that he's leading. And it's not a religious community. And he got caught up in all this. And then he came to speak to me, and I started to explain it to him. He's a very good rapper. And after about an hour, he said to me, now I understand. I had a distortion of Sikha. This isn't a real thing. Now, the Torah attitude to it is, life is a very serious business. We are responsible for everything we do in these days. Not only are we responsible, but we are accountable for everything. And everything has got to be paid for. As the Nesivah puts it, you see, it's one of our greatest authorities. The Nesivah says, if a man is arraigned before a court of law, and there's a question of a death sentence, and it's true, is he happy? That's what they see, he's free. See, he's going to be happy. Look at ourselves. Things we do. Chayve Mises, Bezis, Chayve Mises, Bidol Mishamayim, Chayve Krisis, all the things that we do. There's a wrong that we do. And to be happy. And we are accountable for everything, responsible for everything. Life is a serious business. It's not eat, drink, sing, dance and be merry. That's not life. If you've got joy from hitting something, understanding it, carrying out a mitzvah as you do with your full understanding, tremendous amount of joy. The old story of Archimedes discovers displacement of water. Now he's got this. Great event, full of happiness. We've got that understanding of reality, of course. Doesn't matter what the reality is. Great happiness. Now, I just want you to know that in the period between the two world wars, the greatest regarded themselves not as sadducees, as the short. The little people regarded themselves as sadducees. can you take that or can't you take it? If you can't take it, then just will you forget about it? But that is how it was. Today it's not very much different. The little people said these things. And I've had people come to me, yeah, you say no, don't. Chalalei Shabbos, Ochlei Nebeiros to Tzeifer, every day transgressing highway pieces. So, you know, I am a very good man. The real people could never tell us about themselves, knowing all their shortcomings. Depends on what the level you are. On the level of a Yosef Gaur, that is a Rosha. Now, this is something that God is able to take. If your philosophy of life is, let us eat and let us drink and let us sing and let us dance, that is Torah, that is Judaism. You must be happy, you must be merry. Then, I am not your cup of tea and you are not my cup of tea. I deal with reality. I don't deal with illusions. What I teach you is not the favor of my making. That is the reality of it. Life is a serious matter. Of course there are joyous occasions. And in the very seriousness of life, we find joy. When I know that I've got responsibility, I know that I'm accountable for what I do. There's meaning in everything I say. There's meaning to it. That gives me a tremendous amount of joy. There I get my secret. That is what we have to do. Now, I don't want to keep you any longer than tonight. There's still other things that I wanted to say to you, but your questions were very good, and I spent time answering the questions. Next week we won't be here. We are coming back just too late for the show. We lose 3 hours, and those 3 hours that make all the difference. And if you left those 3 hours, you can start from here. So, we'll meet in 2 weeks' time. Any pardon? 2 weeks we have.
Today,
just 1 moment, today is the 17th.
Correct.
Next Wednesday is the 24th.
Correct, right.
So, and then the
fourth. So the last
show
we have is
the 24th. Oh, I see that. That's the 24th. That's already beyond adjustment, that's already integration. Is it going to be too much for you to come in?
I'll miss this year.
Let us do it that way, all right? 2 weeks from tonight. Learn.